10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Good morning. Good morning. Happy Tuesday. Yes, right. It is Tuesday. I don't even know what date it is. I think it's like the 5th, the 4th, something like that. December. I don't know. I don't know what day it is anymore. I don't know whether I'm coming and going, which is another reason why we chose the topic for today. You are listening to WTF with Karen and Danielle, and I am Karen Stacy, Real Talk Karen Stacy. For those of you that are first time tuning in, please make sure you hit that follow button. We are live on Real Talk with Karen Stacy.podbean.com. This is a podcast, so you can listen to it on any of your favorite podcast platforms. Just type in Real Talk with Karen Stacy and you will find the shows there. So just wanted to say good morning to everybody. I'm waiting for Danielle to jump on. Last week she was here when I started, which was like the first time. So she never heard, you know, I give myself a round of applause, you know, the drum roll and all that fun stuff. But, you know, I thought today's topic was very pertinent because a lot of times the holidays are very joyful times for many, but it also triggers a lot of depression and anxiety because of a lot of things, right? The stress of getting things done. Maybe the empty seats that are at the table. So it is not always the most joyous time of the year. And maybe today's show will help you to remember that, you know, not everyone is living the same life and you should be, you know, humble and kind because some people do suffer from depression and anxiety, and sometimes the holidays, believe it or not, will bring that out as opposed to making your life happy and joyful. Danielle, do I see you here? All right, I don't know. I think I see her. I don't hear her. Good morning, good morning. Testing, testing. There you are. Now you're here. No, you're going in and out. We can't hear you. You're not. Yeah, I hear that you're on there, but we cannot hear you. Location.
I'm sitting in the same spot I'm always sitting, but.
There we go. Now I hear you.
On. Any bad
move? Oh, no. No, you're going in and out. Nope, you're going in and out.
Moving locations.
Sorry, guys. Just bear with us a second.
I'm experiencing technical difficulties. Stand by. Hello? Not funny.
Well, the joys of technology, you know, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But now she's not illuminated at all. So she has left the building.
I have it. Am I here? Am I there? Where am I?
You're here. I don't know if you're there, but you're here and there.
All right. I had to take my AirPods off because for whatever reasons they weren't working.
Hello. Remember, that's what happened in the middle of the show last time. I love them except when they don't work. Which right. is, you know. You know, like, and a lot, like, remember in the middle of the show last week, you were like, Karen, you know, and I couldn't hear you. And you were like, we hear you. And they right. just crapped out of nowhere. Like, I'm sitting here minding my own business, yip-yapping, trying to do a live show. And all of a sudden, my earpods decide they don't want to work.
Yeah, they're like, we're done for the day. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Yeah. What the hell?
I know. And well, I was charging morning. Them and everything, so they were good and ready, and they don't want to work today. So here I am just holding my phone.
All right. Well, guess what? Everybody, you know, this is National Screw You EarPod Day, because I don't know why that happens. And it is, you know, these things are addicting, because for anybody that uses them, you know, you think, what's the big deal? But you stick these things in your ears and you're liberated, because you can move around the cabin freely. And it's very liberating. But when and you're used to them working, and when they don't work, it's very annoying.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes, I've got it coiled in my AirPods.
Yes, correct. Well, good morning, Danielle. Thank you all for tuning in to WTF, Let's Talk with Karen and Danielle. And today's topic is, how do you handle depression or anxiety? So I was just prefacing, you know, while we were waiting for you to jump on, Danielle, do you want to add to anything about depression and anxiety, and certainly with the holiday season?
Well, I suffer from depression, as you know, Karen. And, you know, it's debilitating, and people don't understand it. And, you know, people like, well, what do you have to be depressed about? You know, and it's not so much a thing as in multiple things as a feeling. And, you know, I have a daughter who suffers from severe anxiety, you know, and I don't understand it, funny enough. Like, I look at her like, really, you know, and I'm trying to learn about it. And I have to remind myself, just as I have my thing, she has hers. But at the holidays, you know, the holidays are supposed to be so joyous, right? Everybody's supposed to be happy, and, you know, it's a beautiful time of the year. I've never felt that, you know, since I was a little girl. You know, my mother used to suffer from depression, and she used to put up the Christmas tree, and she'd turn on the lights, and then she'd spend the entire holiday season with the house dark, the Christmas lights on, and in tears, right? So I never understood it. Jeez, I was like, what's happening, right? And, you know, it makes you so melancholy, and it sometimes, I think the holidays bring more of a feeling of inadequacy to people, because mm-hmm. you're here, and most times you're broke, right? And you have to try empty. To, and you're empty, right? You're missing loved ones, and more tragedies I feel happen during the holidays that I'm so aware of. True. That, you know, throughout the years, and I sit back and I go, why is this such a happy time of the year? Like, it's so miserable. Everybody's
ironic.
Everybody's going broke. Everybody's trying to bring their kids joy, buy them things they can't afford, just to buckle up for a January where we are so financially strapped that we barely get enough time to recover. And it's the holidays again, you know? And, I don't know. It's terrible, because I do decorate for my children. I decorate the front of my house. I decorate the inside of my house. I do all the things. My kids are so happy. It's Christmas, rice balls and empanadas and lasagnas and benils and all the good foods and the seven fishes and all the things. Santa's coming. Those damn elves are running around my house causing havoc. And they're happy, and they're so happy, and it's so shameful to me as a mom to be so miserable about it, because I can't wait for it to end and just be done. Like, I just want it to be done so we can go back to our regular program schedule, you know?
In all fairness, okay, so, I mean, first of all, that's amazing, you know, that you always go above and beyond and you do all that stuff. And in all fairness to every parent that is listening right now, those freaking elves are the bane of your existence.
Yes.
Because you got to move those goddamn things, especially when they're younger. Now, I started that tradition with my son. We read the book and everything, and my husband was still alive. And, you know, I had help. So, you know, my, you know, I feel like the first year my husband did it and he moved them or whatever. I don't even remember. But, you know, we were in good shape. And then my husband, you know, passed and I couldn't remember my name and I had to move this goddamn elf. And, you know, I was out because I couldn't live and, I would come home and, you know, had like 17 tequilas and I'd forget to move the goddamn thing. I'd have to set an alarm to try to remember, you know, to move it and then try to think of where to put it. And I'll never forget one time I put them on top of the refrigerator. Right. And I guess I didn't secure, like I didn't put it in a good spot. So when the refrigerator door opened and closed, he fell to the ground.
Oh my God.
And my son witnessed him falling to the ground. Okay. Yeah. Now, oh, mommy, he's dead. What's going to happen? And going crazy. And now I, who can't lie, is sitting there trying to figure out what to tell him, right? Because now I'm like, okay, mother of the year, the elf is down. Your son is having a nervous breakdown. What do you do? So I said to him, you know what, Noah? I don't know what to do, which was an honest thing. I said, you know what? We know that he has no powers. Only when we're asleep at night and he's alone can he go back to the North Pole. So I think we need to leave the house so that we can make sure that he can get his superpowers back so that he's going to be okay. So I made him go downstairs and I told him that I was going to go outside. And obviously before I went outside, I put the elf back where he belonged, like somewhere that he wasn't going to fall down from. And then we reconvened, we came in the house, I pretended to look all over the place, and lo and behold, he found him. And I'm like, thank God.
I think these elves make me depressed, but...
Oh, it's a lot.
Last night, Jay and I, my husband and I were laying in a bed. We had just come back from a cruise, and we were so tired. And he's like, those damn elves. And I had to get up at like 10 o'clock at night and move the elves. And, you know, we do it for the joy of our children, right? Because our kids don't really understand depression. They're so young. And, well, we hope to God they don't understand depression, right? They're so young. And we do it, you know, so that they can have joy, right? We do all these things to try to break these generational curses, right, that we have, you know, sometimes, you know, based on how your parents handled the holidays, you know, it reflects, right? So I told you my mother was depressed all the time during the holidays. You know, my father wasn't home with us. He had left. You know, we were struggling, grew up in the projects, didn't have a lot of money, you know, and here you are. You have this beautiful Christmas tree and you're it's supposed to be the happiest time of year. And your mother's like on the couch crying like every day. How is this happy? And you find yourself as a grown-up there. I mean, even in my 20s, I remember one year, it was right after 9/11. My mother had just passed away. I didn't even put up a tree. I said I had a Harry Potter tree. I had an invisible tree. I had a Harry Potter tree, I told everybody. So, you know, and you push, you know, and you push to satisfy whatever, you know, holiday need people have, joy, you have to find, right? Because you can't fall into that hole of depression. It's an awful place. I, as I said earlier, I suffer from depression and I have been in the throes of depression for years and years, you know, to finally one day for the, like, almost like the clouds to part and the sun to shine. And you're like, you wake up from
this fog.
Yeah. You wake up from this fog and you're like, holy shit. And you reflect back on
see the light.
Yes, and you reflect back on the last couple of years and you're like, oh my God, my poor children, my poor husband, my poor family, they dealt with me, right? I was an autopilot. I just functioned. Right. There was no love. There was no light. I took my kids to have fun. I took my kids to have fun, but I did not have fun with them. years, you know, and you sit back and you're like, okay, well, I know I was there. I took pictures, and I take pictures of everything because, you know, that's my proof. I was present, but I wasn't, you know.
Right. Right. But, you know, I mean, but at the same token, you know, I think you underestimate and don't give yourself enough credit either. Like you said there was no love. There was love, which is why you did it in the first place. It's different when you don't feel it, feeling the love and the joy in your heart is different. But you gave the love. So, you know, don't shortchange that. And I get your perspective on it, but you have to, you know, we're also hard on ourselves, you know, so you have to realize that.
You know, I also function in a place where I know what the right thing to do is. So I may not want to do it, but I'll do it anyway, because, you know, when growing up with a depressed parent, and you, as a child, you would sit there and say, I just want to wish my mom would do this. You know, I just wish my mom would do that. And I remember those days. I remember being so sad because my mother couldn't function. And I used to say, don't you love us enough? You know, and I remember those feelings. So I would get up, even though I didn't want to. So, you know, okay, love was present. I didn't feel it. But I knew it was the right thing to do so that they wouldn't realize how bad I was.
Yeah, but you know? I think, again, you're not looking at the bigger picture. The love was there, and they felt it and you felt it because they're your children and you love them. So I think your children have never not felt love from you, and what you gave, you got back. So I think even though you didn't realize that it was still feeding your soul, it was. So even though you did the right, you know, you were doing it because you knew what the right thing was and you didn't feel like it was something you, you know, wanted, quote unquote, like to push yourself to do, it was something that you wanted to do because you wanted to give them something and you did. So I think you have to look at that a little bit differently. I think you don't give yourself enough credit. And you're setting yourself up, you know, those, like you're, the way you're speaking, nothing you could ever do would be enough if you look at it from where you're coming from.
I guess, but
well, yeah. I mean, you really. I mean, and that's always your defense is like you're always trying to do better for everybody else, and then you feel like you're not, you know, present. But you are present, and you are going through it, and it is feeding you, even though you don't realize it all the time. But you know, a lot of people don't function, so depression. Can, and anxiety for that matter, can cause you not to function. And you just completely shut down, like what you were saying with your mom, that she would just be on the couch and she would just, you know, be miserable and crying. And so she didn't function at all. So you go in the opposite direction and you like overfunction. And so it's kind of like faking it till you make it, if you will. And you said that all of a sudden, the clouds, you know, cleared and you could see the light. And sometimes people don't realize that you just have to change your actions, right? So yeah, sometimes you do have to force yourself to get up, which just when you're in a state of depression, getting up is a big deal.
Yeah, it is.
You know, it's a big deal. And a lot of people don't do it. A lot of people don't get up. So right there, you don't give yourself enough credit because you got up and you did it. And so a lot of us don't give ourselves enough credit. We're too hard on ourselves. And although you can't spend the rest of your life patting yourself on the back, you also have to recognize that you are doing it. So, you know, I had a friend of mine years ago.
Yeah, you know.
What?
No, go ahead. I'm listening
to you.
I had
a friend of mine years ago who used to say, you know what? You don't get a pat on the back for doing the right thing. And of course, this was a Bronx, you know, a Bronx guy. Yeah, well, you don't get a pat on the back for doing the right thing. And I get the mentality because that was like how we were raised, right? Like, you know, buck up, soldier, like keep it moving.
Yeah,
you
know, exactly.
Come on, what are you, a little pussy? You know, get up. You got this, you know, or not even you got this. Get up. Go. You know, and you didn't have a choice, right? Because you had to man up, you know, or now it's put on your big girl panties and keep it moving. And you're doing the right thing. You don't get a pat on the back for doing the right thing. You get a kick in the ass if you don't. So it's different mentalities. And although that is a very harsh way of being, it's a little bit better than, well, I don't know if it's better, but now everybody gets a prize or a medal for, you know, showing up.
Right. It's true.
I'm sorry. I'm hearing stuff in the back and I don't know whether that was you talking or someone else. It was,
oh, I have no idea. No, but you're right.
We hear other people talking.
So that's a different show. No, but you're right. You don't get a pat on the back for doing the right thing. You know, unfortunately nowadays, you know, people feel that they're entitled to a pat on the back for doing the right thing. And that's not how it works. That's what you're supposed to do. But, you know, as we go into this holiday season, we talk about, you know, people experiencing loss and stuff like that. You know, I have my husband's cousins, his wife's mother just passed away and 2 days ago, you know, and then, you know, you just hear things, right? We had a friend, right, Karen, just 2 weeks ago out of nowhere, you know, fine.
Yep.
Passed away. And how do you move forward
push through that?
You know,
right before this show, I told you I was crying because someone that is very dear to me is going through something right now. There's an emergency with their child. And, you know, it's just, this is in the blink of an eye, everything can change. And it's very difficult to stay focused on the positive, right? And not go into this depression, not be anxious, like, oh my God, how am I going to deal with this? Or, oh my God, what's coming next? It's very difficult to manage those thoughts and emotions.
Yeah. Listen, and you know, as a caregiver or the person who handles the financial responsibilities of the home, you know, it's Christmas, right? These men and these women, they're working. Some of them are working 2-3 jobs, can't provide, can't buy food. And, you know, what it does to you mentally, emotionally, you know, it makes you feel inadequate.
Less than, sure.
So terrible. And to have your kids, they make these Christmas lists. They believe in Santa still. And they ask Santa.
Your kids still believe in Santa?
Madison does. Yeah. My one. I have one.
Really?
Yes. She still believes.
Wow. That is amazing. I mean, I tried as long as I possibly could. And, you know, my son still believed, and all of his friends were like, really, Noah, like, you know, what, that's your mother. And I remember him coming to me and saying, like, mommy, like, they say that Santa, you know, isn't, that's not true. And I go, Noah, do you believe in magic? He's like, yeah. I go, well, then there you go. I said, how could mommy possibly buy you those things? You know, mommy doesn't have the money to do that. How could mommy possibly do that? And so, you know, I'm like, you know, it's magic. It's magic. That's what the holidays are, Daddy. It's magic. And they don't believe in magic, but you do. But, you know, I held on to it for, I mean, really, he went a long time, but not as long as, I mean, you're, what are they, 13
well,
now?
They're 12. Well, they'll be 13, but I held on to Dylan till he was about 13.
Yeah.
Yeah, I held on to Dylan until he was about 13. I remember because he asked Santa for something at school and I was nowhere close, but I had one of my girlfriends standing behind him so that she could hear. Because he's like, I'm going to ask Santa for something and you're not going to know what it is and we'll see. And don't you know that shit was in his Santa sack and that boy was the happiest person on the planet. But you have to play tricks, right? You have to be smarter than your kids. So,
my father used to say, you got to wake up pretty early in the morning.
Yeah, so I had to be smarter than my kids, you know, or they would leave little notes. My daughter Madison, she was infamous for writing little things on post-it notes, and you know, I would go in and clean her room, and I would find little post-it notes hidden. So I would be like, "Oh, okay," you know. So then she was like over the moon because, of course, Santa was real because all her little secret things would, you know, show up. But she still believed she came home from our cruise, went running for her elves. She was so excited. Where are they? What are they doing? They brought her an advent calendar. God bless those elves. They bought her a beautiful Sephora advent calendar, hundreds of dollars worth of makeup. Thanks to my aunt Adele, to my sister Adele. So, so they woke up this morning. Mommy, where's the elves? I'm like, oh, well, I don't know where the elves are, you know? So, you know, they're happy. They're happy, you know? They have those joyous moments. They have no idea that mommy and daddy are like banging our heads against the walls trying to figure out how the hell we're going to do this year. Right. You know, my son's 16th birthday, you know, again, don't want to disappoint. Gave him a cruise for his birthday with his friends because if I had to pay for a party, it would have been an equivalent. Okay, fine, you know, and I just look at my husband, I'm like, you have to work harder, you know, and that's the worst part, you know, when you have to look at your spouse and, you know, I think he suffers from depression. He doesn't tell me. I see it. He doesn't see it. And it doesn't have to come out in just sadness, people. Depression, God, so many things. Overeating, you know, not engaging with your family. So many, you know, things, you know.
Withdrawing.
Yeah, withdrawing. Depression will present itself in so many different ways, and you may not even realize you have it. You know, you may develop like a little tick. Some people pull their eyelashes out. Some people pull their eyebrows out. Some people, things that you wouldn't even think, like, why were they doing that? They do it because they're depressed, and they don't know how to
even recognize it. Well, and look at, you know, that's like also people overeating, finding comfort in food, over drinking, you know, right, finding comfort in alcohol. Some people have stomach problems, right? I mean, because they're nervous. You know, there are so many different ways that depression or anxiety come out, and you have to be very self-aware, because most people don't even recognize it. Sometimes it takes an outside person to say, like, are you okay? Like, you don't seem right. Like, you know, like, that's not like you to eat like that, or that's not like you. You drank a lot last night, or like, you haven't left the house, or how come you didn't get dressed, or how come, you know, whatever.
Yeah, why are you in your pajamas for 3 days? Like, are you okay? Like, hello? You
know? Right. And you know, how come every time I call you, you don't answer the phone? You know, there are many different things. And, you know, I just think that if people thought a little more about each other and about others, that the world would be in a better place. But I think that we live in a society where it's all about me now, and no one thinks about other people. And I've tried to use, you know, my platforms, you know, to express that, because, you know, you never know what someone else is going through, and a little bit of kindness goes a really, really long way.
Yes.
And even if you don't have the capacity to help that person, or the desire, at least being human might help them, because somebody that's really depressed could be on the verge. I mean, when I first started my shows, well, not when after I first started, but I did some when I started Coffee Talk, which was when the pandemic had hit and everything. I would get messages after the show about people that were like suicidal, and whatever we talked about that day resonated with them, and you know, it made them hold on for another day. And so you just never know. And that's why I always like to talk about the things that the pink elephant in the room, people don't like to discuss a lot of things, because you're not supposed to, right? Like, just like I said earlier, right? Growing up, like, you know, buck up, you know, like put a, you know, like really, like, what do you want, a medal? Like, okay, so you did that. Like, you have no choice. You got to do that. And not that we need to, you know, coddle people, but supporting people really does go a long way. And if you haven't been through anything that has changed your whole world, then God bless you.
Bless you.
Because you know what I'm saying? Because there are those of us that have been through life altering things, whether it was growing up, whether it was as an adult, whatever the case may be. And it should change you, but there, that goes two ways. I always say this, you know, you can either become kind and try to help others because you know what it feels like, or you can become bitter and resentful and not help others because you feel like nobody helped you. And you know, there are a lot of people like that, right? There, unfortunately, there are more people like that. Like, well, you know what? I figured it out. Let them figure it out.
Correct.
How about helping someone figure it out? Like, you know, I remember not being able to figure it out. How about, like, instead of like, well, I figured it out, why can't they? How about you help that person or support them or do something that can better their life instead of being resentful and nasty because you had nobody to help you?
Correct. I agree.
And those are the people that I think will always be that way. And those are the people that you walk around and what does it take? It takes 3 minutes to learn that lesson. Meaning you start talking to somebody and you can tell by their attitude where they're at with things. And you know, like, you know what? I've been through it. I dealt with it. Figure it out.
Agreed.
Like, oh, thank you. That's nice.
That's
so, you know,
that's so kind. Thank you so much.
Yeah, very kind of you. I'm glad that, you know, this didn't harden you and make you, you know, a resentful person. And, you know, and again, those are victims right there. Okay. So if you take on the victim, you know, stance and mentality, you're never going to triumph because you will always be the victim. So in order to, you know, work through depression and anxiety, you must become the victor. And people don't realize that because if you live in the victim status, you will never, ever be anything other than the victim. And you will never really succeed. You will constantly blame others for the life that you live. So if you want to battle anxiety and depression, the first thing you have to do is be self-aware and stop blaming others and lie in the victim mentality because nothing good comes of that. Would you agree?
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
So, you know, so this is why. So now we were saying, like, so today's topic for those of you that are just joining us. And first of all, anybody that is here, thank you for joining us. You're listening to WTF. Let's Talk with Karen and Danielle. Please make sure you hit that like button, heart the show, subscribe to us. It's free. Real Talk with Karen Stacy.podbean.com. And we are talking about how do you handle depression and anxiety. So, Danielle, what are some of the things you do to handle the depression?
I try to stay present with my friends, which is really hard because I am a withdrawer. Like, you know, most people who suffer from depression, I go dark very fast, but I work out, I go exercise.
That's how you handle it.
So I was in a depression till I want to say 2019, came out of it. I want to say about May 2019. And when I finally came out of it, like everything started to change. I lost like 75 pounds since then. I've a lot of things have happened and changed since I came out of my depression. In February 2021, my father was killed in an accident. And when I tell you, boy, depression, her little hands wrapped around my feet, she was ready to drag me back in so deep and so hard. And I went in a way, a different kind of way.
Yeah.
I went in a way. Yeah. But a lot of drinking, I shut down on my family a lot and just gave up, didn't pay the bills, didn't clean the house, didn't do whatever, you know? And I spent a lot of time exercising, just in tears, a lot of tears. Just,
yep.
And every time, the harder I cried, the harder I pushed myself.
Yep.
And you know, there were times I'd be exercising like 2 hours just because I was crying so hard. It took me forever to get through the exercise. But when I was done with my tears and my exercise that day, I was like, okay, I felt good. You know?
Right. It's a release.
Yeah, I could function. So I did it again. And then you would think that I would be in the best shape of my life right now, by the way. I'm not. But with all that exercising. So, that's how I functioned. That's how I satisfied it. And, you know, and even still, like, my brother-in-law died unexpectedly in October. And I had been working out, like, almost 3 months straight. I was doing so good. And that hit me and just pushed me into a spot, and I have not exercised not one day since October 16th, not one day. And I have to get back to it. Like, I know I have to get back to it, but it's the emotional hits, the way, you know, he was on his way here, you know, he was in New York. He was on his way here for Halloween. And, you know, my niece and my nephew, they have babies, and he's, you know, maybe he wasn't like the greatest dad, but he was a really good granddad, and was finally, you know, healing all, you know, the past wounds with his children and just really being present. And I know the man since I'm 8 years old, you know, and where I thought that we were in a place emotionally where I was finally overcoming my own father's death, I feel like it kicked me backward. I feel like it kicked me backwards.
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, and just for a moment of a side note, that is certainly what happens, right? Because we associate, because when something, you know, terrible happens, your knee-jerk reaction is to go back to that dark place, because that's how you learned how to deal with things. You know, your central nervous system, meaning, goes right back there. And it's very difficult not to go all the way back down, right? So, you know, it's guilt by association. Oh my God, this tragedy just happened. Oh, wait, I know what tragedy feels like. That I'm going there. And I've recognized that in myself, where once you've gone through something extremely tragic, your knee-jerk reaction is to go back to that horrific, terrible place. And it's very difficult to take you to a place that is a sad place, but not the deep, dark place. Right. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, it does.
So it sounds like, so that's where you're fighting. You're fighting not to be in that deep, dark place. You're fighting to be in the surface place of losing a loved one.
Right. Yeah.
So it's a little bit different. And that's what I mean, is that we have to learn from those places. So I'm going to share with you something that my therapist had taught me 100 years ago, right? Now, I was raised by a very hysterically dramatic woman. And if she broke her nail or if someone died, she had the same reaction. So that was what I learned growing up. So I didn't realize that if the cable guy didn't show up, I didn't have to react the same way as I would if someone died, because I wasn't taught that. I was taught to be hysterical. So that was what I knew. And, you know, when this, you know, therapist said to me, you know, you don't have to have the same reaction. Certain actions warrant certain reactions. So, you know, that's one thing to keep in mind, because some of us go, you know, too far in. The other thing is to manage your reactions and to be self-aware. Like, you know, I tell myself, all right, you know what? You're allowed to feel this, but, you know, like you got 2 days or whatever it is. I mean, maybe I'm, you know, like you can feel this, but guess what? At this particular time, you gotta function.
I tried that. Down. Yeah, I tried that. I was like, okay, I'm going to go work out today. And I can't. I don't get off the couch. Like, I do. Well, I do a lot of things. I'm not just sitting on the couch like popping bonbons. But
right.
But my priority for myself, because I could see the change in my body, like my, you know, getting my muscles aren't as toned, whatever. And I can't, I just can't. It's almost like I'm, my feet are tight. Like, I can't just get there. It's like, you know, and it's, and I know it's all mental, which is the worst part, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. But you know what? You'll get there. Your head is already there. You're not in the same place that you were. So, you know, you are not eating, you know, because you're depressed. You're not shoving crap in you that you're, you know, putting yourself in an unhealthy situation. You're just mustering, you know, what you can to get through. So that's another part of depression and anxiety, is that sometimes you can only handle but so much. And, you know, again, you can't pour from an empty cup. So, you know, you have to recognize that maybe, you know, yes, working out is a good thing to do because it will help clear your head and your mind, but you might only have, you know, a quarter of a cup right now. So if you're going to deplete your cup, you know, by working out and it's not going to fill your cup, then you have to base it off of that. Will it probably fill your cup? Yes. Does it, your, since your cup isn't full, it, you don't feel nourished enough to do it. So it's a catch 22, you know, it's the chicken and the egg. And unfortunately, you know, a body in motion tends to stay in motion. And if you are not in motion, and that's emotionally, mentally, you know, physically, then it's very difficult to get back into those type of things, because if we give ourselves every excuse possible. I mean, it's hard. And especially, you know, I mean, you're not suffering from winter blues. For those of us that are in New York, it's hard. I mean, you know, you just want to like be in the house. You want to be snuggly warm and under the blankets. You know, I don't want to get up and start sweating and working and moving. Like, I can find every excuse in the book not to work out. Yes, you know,
it's cold over there. You're 100% right.
It's dark at 4:30.
Yes. Okay. I agree, because I was on the phone with Adele the other day and it was 6:30 here. And I'm like, oh my God, the sun's starting to set. She's like, what are you talking about? It's pitch black outside. I'm like, not here yet. You know,
been pitch. But yeah, 4:28 was like the sunset, I think, yesterday.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So a lot of people do suffer from seasonal depression and stuff as well. And it's funny that we had this topic, because I watched the news the other day, and I guess, you know, we're just so far ahead of everybody. Every time I decide to do a topic, I'll turn the news on and the news is talking about that topic. So it's very interesting. And it's before, like, I was, you know, the idea was already there, and then I'll see it on the TV. So it's very interesting, because seasonal is also very big as well. For the, you know, it gets darker earlier, you know, the holidays. And then for us, right, so you were talking about how in January, you know, you're in the financial hole and all of that stuff. For us in you know, any climates that aren't warm, you know, you're hunkering down for 2 months, you know. I mean, I'm trying to plan events at our, you know, venue, and you don't know what to do, because the odds are you ain't going to do nothing, because Mother Nature is going to be like, yeah, okay, you ain't doing that.
I'm gonna drop a little snowstorm on you. Yeah, we're not getting that here.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I have to tell you, it, you know, it does make a difference, you know.
Yeah.
Quality of life down here when you can go outside, you know, shorts, just go sit at the beach, you know, whatever, how you're feeling. Yeah, I can say it is different, and believe me, it has helped a lot. You know, I used to have it in a while. I used to go for my weekly beach session, which was my own private therapy. I haven't done that in a while. I need to go back. But, you know, you have to, the best way to stay out of, you know,
the rabbit hole
of those hands of depression is to try to find something that you love to do, whatever it is, wherever you find your peace and your tranquility, and try to get there, even if it's for a half an hour, an hour, even if it's just once a week, just to kind of recenter. Because if you don't, listen, it's there. You know, there's someone who suffers from depression. Depression is not just a thing. Like, you can go have it. You can't say, oh, I was depressed once. Depression is a thing, and it's constant, and it's always there, ready to drag you down. You have to just, correct. You have to be.
Anxiety and depression are, to me, like, I always compare it to like an alcoholic. So the way that an alcoholic wakes up every day and fights not to drink is the same way that someone that suffers from anxiety and depression fights every day not to go down that rabbit hole. Now, there are some days that an alcoholic wakes up and if they've beaten it, they don't think about it, right? And it's just a part of their everyday, and they don't drink anymore. But then there are those times, those dark times, that you wake up in the morning and the first thing you're thinking about is having a drink. It's exactly the same thing with anxiety and depression. That's why, like, people look at it like, oh, you know, snap out of it, you know, and you can't, because it's part of the way your central nervous system, it's the way you're wired, and you fight every day not to feel that way. Now, alcoholics go for, you know, therapy, right, to learn how to live their lives sober. You know, people that suffer from anxiety and depression, they really need tools. If you are suffering from anxiety and depression and you don't know how to get a handle on it, you need to reach out. You need to talk to your doctor. Maybe you need to go on an antidepressant, you know, and or an anti-anxiety medication, but you also need tools. So don't just think that, you know, in this society, pop a pill and everything is all good. Correct. You need to, you know, and that's what happens.
Right. I took antidepressants, right? I was depressed and I took antidepressants, and it leveled me to a point enough. That I was not happy, but I was not sad. But I was nothing. Like, I was correct. Just cruising through the day. Nothing bothered me. I wasn't yelling at my kids anymore. So they liked it because I wasn't yelling. But I was, when I tell you, if you thought I wasn't present when I was feeling depressed, I was less present on those pills because nothing fazed me. Nothing. I was just literally floating through the day, like just functioning, but nowhere. It was terrible. You know,
which is why you should combine it, and not to interrupt you, but this is why you must take those and combine them with therapy or ways to deal. Because the whole thing is that normally if you go to therapy, the reason there are underlying reasons why you're feeling depressed and you're feeling anxiety, and they may not be just a seasonal type of thing. There are people that just get depressed and anxious because of a certain situation. And once that situation has found a solution, if you will, or has ended, they are back to being their normal selves. But there are people that suffer from it, like you spoke of, from, you know, young in life. That is how you're wired, which means that when you go to therapy, that therapy is going to unleash all of those things that we have tucked so deep into our psyche that now are going to come out. So that medication that makes you kind of level, like you just described, makes it enables you to let all of these cobwebs out so that you may heal these things, so that you don't always feel that. It is not a cure all. It is a means to an end. Right.
And therapy, you know, people laugh at it, they scoff at it. They're like, oh, therapy. But you know, I've talked to so many people who hide their depression so well, right? They'll be in a marriage. Yes. My wife, you know, I do everything, you know, whether it's a wife or a husband. I have spoken to a husband who says to me, like, I do everything. My wife doesn't do anything. My kids, they take advantage of me. They do all the things. I'm a worker. I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm a this, I'm a that. And, you know, they have mentioned on occasion here or there how, you know, it would just be easier to just end it, you know?
Yeah.
And you're like, are you okay, you know? But, you know, you don't know, right? They put on a happy face and you see them and they're like, hey, what's up? How are you? And meanwhile, you know the background story and you're just like looking at them like, wow, what a mask, you know? And their spouse and their kids probably have no idea, you know? And that person is, you know, like a ticking time bomb because there will be one day where something will just trigger them too hard. And, you know, people are like, I had no idea. It's there. You know, it really is there. You know, everybody's, unless you're very vocal about your feelings, you know, somebody that's always happy-go-lucky, you know, I would check in. I would check in. You know, listen, I'm very vocal. Everybody knows exactly where I stand. And I try to, sometimes not well, express myself, my feelings, my emotions, my depression and everything. Because if I know that if I don't get it out, it's going to take a hold of me and it's going to control me. So I have to verbalize.
But that's most people. It's great that you are able to verbalize that. A lot of people feel a certain way and they don't even know why.
Why?
I mean, I've seen, you know, I mean, I see it all the time. I mean, you know, and
but you Cameron, see somebody. That all happens with therapy. I remember going into therapy and this was years ago. I want to say, must be about 9 years ago. I found a therapist down here and I started talking. And people, if you don't have a therapist and you feel like you need to talk, you would be surprised as you're talking to your therapist and you're telling her one story, you may just blip in something from somewhere else. And she's like, wait a minute. And you don't realize how that one little interaction that you were just talking about in passing, trying to get to a different story.
So true.
Triggered something. So she'd be like, no, we're going to get back to this. I'm like, no, it's not important. She's like, no, it is. And then when you start talking about it, you realize, like, she taught me how to compartmentalize things. She's like, we're walking down a hallway of your life, like it's a brain, and we've got to talk about all the little things and kind of like put it in behind the door and close it. The only way you're going to get past it is to walk through it, so to speak. And then we put it away. And it was very, very eye-opening to me.
Yes, because a lot of us are taught, like some of us are taught, like we were talking about earlier, right? Be strong, never let them see you cry, you know, yada, yada. And so I remember when I was like in my early 20s and I was debilitated from anxiety and depression. And I remember talking to the therapist and he's like, well, how are you feeling? I'm like, I don't know. I feel like, you know, I'm very anxious. And he's like, well, why don't you tell me what went on this week? So I blurted out, like, I'm like, well, not really. I mean, nothing really. And I blurted out like 40 things. He goes, not really. Did you hear all the things you just said? And I'm like, yeah, but, you know, but that's normal. But yeah, but that was the, and he's no, listen. And you're like, wow. And so, yes, I want to even let me just like preface by saying also, therapists definitely have their role in life. And if you haven't been to one and you suffer from these things, you should consider it. That said, never underestimate the power of a good friend. But a friend is not a therapist. And a friend, unless they've been through therapy and know how to help, if you will, that's not their job, right? But sometimes just saying something out loud means it no longer has its power. So we hold a lot of things in, like you just were talking about your friend who holds down all these things and that you don't think that his wife and children have any idea where he is mentally and emotionally. And that is why saying it out loud has so much power. I just did this, you know, last week. Someone that is very dear to me was going through something And I'm like, you need to talk. You need to talk. And it's like, well, you know, blah, 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 blah. And they actually called me and they talked for an hour and a half straight. I think I said three words, believe it or not. And they, like afterwards, like later on that day, they messaged me and were like, thank you so much. I feel so much better. And so sometimes you do need to speak, but you know, if someone is speaking to you, you need to listen to them with a non-judgmental and open heart, because the last thing someone needs is to spill their guts to you and you make them feel even worse with what, you know, with your reaction.
Right.
I agree.
Well, and that's the huge part, is that if someone trusts you enough to speak, don't make them feel like an asshole after they did.
Right. That is correct. I mean, and listen, you know, we're so hard on each other. And, you know, again, the way our parents raised us, like, you know, our parents was like, you know, speak your mind, say what you know, whatever. My parents were not coddly parents. Right. So I learned, and, you know, just being from New York and stuff like that, our like knee jerk responses sometimes are so hard and so cutting. Yep. And, you know, and it wasn't until I moved down here. I have a girlfriend down here. I love her. But she used to tell me, she's like, Danielle, you're so mean. Like, I'm like, I'm not mean. It's not my fucking fault that you guys are like all like soft skins, like toughen up, you know? And here I'm now here 10 years. And she's like, oh my God, you're so much better. You're like, you know, you're so much lighter and you're so much easier to deal with. She's like, even a lot of my friends are like, oh my God, Danielle, so much. She doesn't have that chip on her shoulder anymore. She's like, people would say things to you. She goes, and you would shoot back with such a sharp tongue. And they'd be like, why is she so violent all the time? Like everything's so hard, you know, and you don't realize. And, you know, kids make you realize, right? Because you say things to your children and then they have that little sad face on and you're like, shit, you know, I have to be better.
Right. Well, again, when you have that knee jerk reaction, it's also because, you know, it's embedded in you, if you will. Right. And so it's a hard thing to do sometimes because, you know, there is resentment and anger that does lie deep. And when something triggers, hits a nerve, your first response, depending on who you are and what you've been through, can be a razor sharp, you know, tongue. So we all have our ways of communicating certain things, good, bad, and indifferent. But
your response can be the trigger that actually sends that person into a darker place instead of pulling them out.
Correct. Well, that's what it is. Part of being a good human is being, you know, aware, self-aware, right? So that, yes, somebody could really be teetering and then they say something to you and your reaction pushes them further. And, you know, instead of pulling them back and reaching a hand out, you're actually nudging them to jump off the cliff.
Correct.
So it's a big responsibility. Don't get me wrong. And no one should have to have that responsibility, but you need to be accountable and self-aware and know, like, you know, people that are friends with you and I, they know that, you know, we're going to say something and maybe we're going to do our best to say it in a more loving and affectionate way. Which is something that I think we've both learned how to do, as opposed to a very matter-of-fact way. But there are times that matter-of-fact pops in, you know, loudly. But yes, you have to be more aware of your audience, right? Like if you know, when we know we're talking to people that are like-minded, we're going to speak more organically than we would around not like-minded people, right?
Correct.
So know your crowd.
Yes. And you know, especially, no, yeah, right, know your crowd. I say be nice to people all the time, but especially now. The holidays, it brings something sometimes so deep-rooted you don't even know it's there. But there's something about the holiday season when the Christmas music starts and everything, it just triggers a sadness in people. So, you know, you run across a friend, you run across a stranger, they just be nice, you know? It might be everything to them that day.
That's always good advice, right? You know, always lead with kindness. You know, I always say, you know, you never know what someone else is going through. You know, like I always used to say, don't be an asshole today because you never, you know, tomorrow isn't promised. And,
that's right.
You know, being a good human has a lot of, it's a multifaceted type of thing. And we can't always do all we would like to do to help others. But, you know, being kind, being humble, and just try to support people because you never know what someone else is going through. So like Danielle was saying earlier, you know, check in with people, see how they're doing, but, you know, be open and be kind so that if maybe they aren't doing well, you know, you can help in some way. And it could be something so insignificant of, you know, like, oh, you know, this one is looking for something like this and I don't know how to do that. And the person on the other line may say, oh, you know what? I just did something like that. Try this. And it helps you so that you can think. Sometimes when we are depressed and we are anxious, we are incapable of thinking because we have so much in our minds that we can't clear the thought process to see the light. So sometimes just, you know, saying something positive, sometimes just bringing somebody to a safe place can make all the difference in the world. And I do say for anybody that is suffering from depression and anxiety, Danielle and I are not doctors. All we are is humans that keep it real. And we're telling you how what we've dealt with, what we've done. And we are definitely saying, you know, seek help. Speak to your doctor, maybe go on an antidepressant. You know, you do need to stay on something like that for 6 months or better. Even if you feel better after 2 months, you need to stick it through because whatever gains you got, you will lose. And if you research it, you will learn this. And again, I am not a doctor. I just play one on the radio. You know, so you need to do that. And you need to also get yourself tools. And however you need to do that, whether you read self-help books, whether you meditate, whether you do something that provides tools for you to deal with and handle your anxiety and depression, I promise you there is light at the end of the tunnel. Do not give up. You are not alone. So many of us deal with this. So many people are not open and honest with what they're going through. Don't think because you see others smiling, as Danielle just mentioned, happy-go-lucky, smiling, that they're living the life of Riley and you're looking at them and you're envious. You have no idea what someone else is going through. People portray to you what they want you to see. And most people that are portraying those things, they are perpetrating the fraud. So don't always think the grass is always greener. It's okay to ask for help. It's okay to feel these things. And don't give up because the light is there.
Yes, it is. It is definitely there. And believe me, when you get there,
there you go. You exhale.
Yep, you exhale.
You exhale. And don't forget, you know, you never know what someone else is going through. And everybody got a story. Everybody got a story. And if you start to talk, people will start to share that with you if they feel, you know, comfortable enough to do so. So, you know, don't think you're alone. Don't think you're the only one. And the greatest thing I can tell you is, you know, you can't try not to live your life as the victim. You can be the victor, and you have to just understand where you're coming from and who and what you are. And that takes a lot of deep, deep work. And so many of us don't want to do it because it's opening up all those skeletons in the closet that you have locked away and thrown away the key. And unfortunately, you got to open that up and they all got to come out. And that's the only way that you will find peace.
Correct.
So we wish you all a happy week. You know, these are just a little touches on, you know, how to handle depression and anxiety. Do not be afraid to ask for help. That is the first and foremost thing I can say. You know, you are not alone. Ask for help. Don't bury your troubles in, you know, and don't self-medicate, because that's only going to enable another, you know, another problem. So, you know, I always joked around and said tequila is my healer. And I'm the first to admit that I certainly did that. But you can't go down that rabbit hole. If you're relying too much on self-medication, you really need to learn how to, you know, self-soothe and how to have those tools to get you to the other side. So we'll think of, we went in deep the past two shows. So I think next show, we're going to think of something a little lighter, to discuss, but, you know, this is real, and we're talking about the pink elephant in the room, just in case anybody needed to hear it. So thank you guys for tuning in to WTF Let's Talk with Karen and Danielle. Don't forget to hit that like button, that follow button. Danielle, thank you so much for sharing your experiences. Ed, do you have anything in closing you want to say?
Nope. We think we covered it all. You know, just listen, guys, you know what? Karen and I are both on Facebook. If anybody's listening or anybody just wants to chat, hit us up, you know?
Unless you're a guy that's trying to, you know,
don't hit us up to like hit us up because maybe you're
sliding in the DMs.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Maybe you're having a bad day and maybe you just need to vent. If you need to vent because you're in a bad space, you're in a bad headspace and you can't talk to your family and you can't talk to your spouse and nobody's understanding and you're just having a day like that, you know. This is the time for everybody to help. So we're here. We will help.
And that said, also, if there is a topic that you want us to discuss, you can private message that as well, because sometimes people, you know, I understand it's sensitive and you don't want everybody knowing your business. And I always have anonymity when it comes. Did I say that correctly? Anonymity.
You sound like Nemo,
anemone. We have that, you know, that privacy shit.
Yeah. There you go.
We have that privacy shit, so you don't have to worry. If you want to talk about something, nobody needs to know it was your topic. So right. Thank you guys for tuning in. We will see you next week at 11 a.m. Sending much love and light. And remember, tomorrow isn't promised. Don't be an asshole today.
There you go. All right.
Bye, Danielle. Love you. Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.